From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. This hour we talk about tattoos. Why have they become so popular? What are the reasons people get them? We listen back to my conversation from last year with tattoo artist Jeff Johnson, author of the book Tattoo Machine, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink. Johnson has worked for over 18 years as a professional tattoo artist. His book is full of humorous stories on how he's inked gang members and professional athletes, age-defying moms, newlyweds, and even sociopaths. Johnson says every tattoo has a story, and every cover-up has two. Our conversation starts right after this news. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, and you're listening to an archive edition of our program today. This hour, we talk about tattoos. Why have they become so popular in the last generation? What are the various reasons people get them? What technical and artistic advances have been made? My guest is the co-owner of one of the oldest tattoo parlors in the country, Jeff Johnson. Johnson has worked for over 18 years as a professional tattoo artist. He's co-owner of the Sea Tramp Tattoo Company, the oldest tattoo shop in Portland, Oregon. Johnson's written a new book about his experiences titled Tattoo Machine, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink. In it, Johnson gives readers a behind-the-scenes look at the business of running a successful tattoo parlor. Also, humorous stories of how he's inked gang members and professional athletes, age-defying moms, newlyweds, and even sociopaths. Jeff Johnson joins us by phone from his home in Portland, Oregon. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning to you.
I'm glad that you can take your time to do this, but I understand that not a lot of people get tattoos early in the morning. Your big business comes late at night.
Oh, that's true. I mean, people don't generally get tattoos around 8 in the morning. That would be crazy.
Okay, good. We're not making you lose any money in any case. We want our listeners to have us tell their stories, the story behind your tattoo this hour. Tell us that, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. As I said, you are the co-owner of one of the oldest tattoo parlors in the country, Jeff. Tell us a little bit about its history.
Well, the Sea Tramp was founded by a guy named Bert Grimm, who started tattooing in, I believe it was 1917, 1918, something like that. And he started tattooing in St. Louis, and he moved around quite a bit. And he met Don Deaton while he was tattooing on the Pike in California. The Pike was kind of an amusement park. And, and when he moved to Oregon to retire, he just couldn't stand it, so he started up a tattoo shop. And eventually he did retire, and the shop passed to Don Deaton, who's now in his mid-70s. And so, yeah, it's old. We've got a lot of old stuff in there.
Now, tattoos 100 years ago, was that about the advent of tattoos? They trace their history back any earlier than that?
Oh yeah, you know, remember the guy that they found frozen in the ice in Switzerland or whatever? You know, he was
The Ötzi man or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. He had tattoos all over him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and Bert Grimm, the founder of your shop, is said to have tattooed Bonnie and Clyde
and Buffalo Bill. Yes.
And Buffalo Bill. Describe the tattoo business today, compared to the way it was a generation or two ago. How has it changed?
Oh, it's changed a great deal. You know, for one thing, I think, well, the two largest changes, I think, are that, you know, I mean, if you look at Bert Grimm's art and everything like that, the guy really, really was a very primitive artist. And, you know, I say that with the greatest respect, but it's true. And now you have a lot of people that are graduating from art school, and they really don't have a lot of career options. And but tattooing is so interesting at this point, and so... you know, the technology is so advanced that, you know, this is a viable career path for a lot of these folks. So that's changed a great deal, like the actual practitioners and their level of skill as illustrators. And also the Internet has changed everything as well. Your average customer can do a great deal of research online and really articulate their ideas in a way that they weren't able to do even 15 years ago.
You write in the book, like it or not, this industry is now being driven by consumers, and their perceptions are formed at the industry media's cutting edge. So give me an example of what someone, a customer you would have come in that wouldn't have been pre-internet, a pre-internet customer.
Say 15 years ago, you get a customer that comes in and they would say, okay, I want a dragon on my arm. And, so then you'd have to ask them a lot of questions like, oh, well, what kind of dragon? You know, are you talking about a Chinese one, a Japanese one, you know, kind of a Lord of the Rings fantasy thing, you know, Dungeons and Dragons? Or, you know, and you go through all this, you know, and then you go through colors. A lot of people's, like blue is blue. You know, there are millions of shades of blue, actually, you know. But now people will come in oftentimes with, you know, stuff that they've clipped out of magazines. The magazines have gotten a lot better as well. I mean, it used to be kind of like, you know, there would be boobs and a little tattoo in the background, you know. And now they're, you know, the photographs are really professional. The articles are good. They'll come in with a great deal of research. They've, you know, so that you can understand them a lot better.
Okay, we want to have our listeners jump in on this conversation right now. Share your story behind your tattoo this hour, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, theexchange at iowapublicradio.org. Jeff Johnson with us. Tattoo Machine, the title of his memoir as a tattoo artist. Matt is joining us. You're on the road. Are you missing this rain, Matt, or are you somewhere in the rain?
I'm in the rain.
You're in the rain. What do you got to share with us?
Well, I always felt I got my tattoo for two reasons. Number one, I always felt as a young man that there was nothing I went through to become a man. I always felt like I needed to be tried, and I don't know if the pain was involved in that, but that seemed like that was part of it. And then when my son was born, my wife went through quite a bit of pain, I guess you could say, for a few hours. So I told her, I said, well, I'll go through 3 hours of pain once I get this tattoo. So it kind of seemed fair to her.
Did the tattoo have anything, the image have anything to do with the birth of your son or your wife?
It's my son's complete name, which is quite lengthy across my whole back.
Wow. Now, when you hear that, Jeff, is that a familiar story?
Oh, it is, definitely. It is. I could tell a similar story for myself. I don't have any kids or anything, but, a tattoo is, especially your first one, is oftentimes a very transformative moment. This is when you're really kind of taking the reins of your own life. You're going to permanently decorate your own body. And to a certain extent, that occurs every time as well.
Matt's story about having his son's name tattooed across his back reminds me of a story in your book, Jeff, about a bride-to-be who came in to have her fiancé's name put on, her shoulder?
Yeah, it was on her upper arm.
Tell us that story.
Oh, this was truly tragic. This young woman, just a delightful little creature too, had been dating this her fiance for years and years. But he was Greek, and his name was something like Alfonsanino, but everyone called him Al. And so she wanted to get his name tattooed on her arm as a surprise for their wedding. So the day before the wedding, she comes in and gets the name, but of course she spelled it wrong. And when she showed it to her mother-in-law-to-be, you know, the woman freaked out and was like, you've misspelled the name. So she came back and...
She looked much different the second time through the door.
Oh, yes, man. When she came through the second time, her breeding school posture had just vanished completely. She was weeping hysterically. She freaked out a lot of customers there, too. It was pretty terrible, but we eventually were able to correct that. But since then, we've implemented several measures to make sure that this never happens again.
Let's go to Dan in Davenport. Dan dialed 1-866-780-9100 to talk tattoos. Dan, good morning. Welcome to The Exchange.
Hi, thank you. My input would be I wanted one all my life. And it's trying to, like the gentleman said, it's a permanent thing, and it's a big step. And all I'd ever seen is the skulls, the knives, the gang look thing, and that kind of a turn off to me. I've always been, the peace sign has always been a thing with me.
Mm-hmm. So, do you mind telling us about how old you are?
I'm 60 years.
60 years and old, and you just got the tattoo.
Yes, I did. Just a year ago.
So, what's behind the appeal? You put it off this long. You said you wanted it your whole life. Why? What's behind that allure?
Well, it's they're unique, and they're very. It's the art. It's the artist part of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you find a good one, and there's a lot of them out there that don't do very good, I think. But if you find a good artist, which I did, this the guy's name's Alex. The man is truly an artist, and I wanted to get the peace sign, and also wanted an eagle. And I've seen a lot of eagles, and I just wanted something totally different. So the eagle, I let him kind of run and do what he wanted to do. So he had he put an eagle on me. The wings are flames,
mm-hmm.
and then the peace sign is up at the top in between the wings. And I was just amazed that after I got it and got out into public, that it was like, wow. All I heard was, never seen anything like that before. And
that was the satisfaction you got there, with the other people's reaction as well.
Exactly. I didn't want the same old. I wanted a piece of artwork that really, really stood out.
Thank you, Dan, for your story. Calling from Davenport. Having a little bit of a choppy line there. We're going to let you go. Jeff, we've got about a minute before we take a break. He called it a big step walking through the door. Do a lot of your first-time customers probably in the same thing? They think this is a big step they're taking.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, I mean, tattoo shops always have that kind of there's a stigma still attached to them. You know, walking through the door itself, it takes a certain measure of bravery, just to take that step. Because you never know what you're going to find in there. You might go in there and find some really surly bikers and then have to spend 5 minutes trying to get back out of there without offending anybody. But the places are a lot more calm these days. So.
Okay. Jeff Johnson, stay with us, joining us from Portland, Oregon. He is the author of the new book, Tattoo Machine, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink, just published by Spiegel and Graum. He worked for over 18 years as a professional tattoo artist, co-owner of the Sea Tramp Tattoo Company in Portland. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Jeff about some tips. Maybe you'd like to get a tattoo. What should you be thinking about? Are you the right type of person to have a tattoo? What should you be thinking about when you select a tattoo artist? We'll talk about that and go to your calls, your questions, your emails, 1-866-780-9100. We want to find the story behind your tattoo. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We'll be right back. I'm Ben Kiefer, and this is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange are now available at iowapublicradio.org. This is an archive edition of The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. Veteran tattoo artist Jeff Johnson with us on The Exchange today. Tattoo Machine is the title of his book, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink. Also, want to know your questions about tattooing? Tell us about your tattoo. 1-866-780-9100. Before we go back to calls, Jeff, tell us what a person should be thinking about when they consider having a tattoo. What are the chief questions they should ask themselves?
Well, that's a good question. I guess they should try to figure out, you know, where they want it on their body. If you look at, like, I've seen a couple of these reality TV shows, and it seems like everybody's got a really sentimental reason for getting a tattoo. Your second caller, actually, that's a little bit more accurate. He was interested in the art, and that's what most of these people, most of my customers, most, I think, tattoo customers are looking for. So you want to find an artist like that man described that's going to work with your idea, that's going to really bring some vision to your project.
So discussion with your customers, kind of hashing it out with them, and the back and forth is a big part of your work.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And if you wind up at a tattoo shop where you're not getting that kind of feedback, then you just need to go somewhere else, definitely.
past the artistic aspect here, give us some tips for someone choosing a tattoo artist in terms of the technology and the hygiene. Are tattoo artists certified, for example?
In some states, they are. In Oregon, they are. You have to have a license and all this kind of stuff like that. When you go into a tattoo shop, you pretty much want to look at it, you know, a variety of different things. It has to look clean. And especially pay attention to the bathrooms, you know. All of the stuff in the background of a tattoo shop, the autoclaves and the enzyme baths and all this sort of stuff, that's not very easy to clean. So you can tell a lot about the hygiene level of a tattoo shop by looking at things that are actually easy to clean, like the floor or the toilet, this kind of stuff.
And, of course, if you're in the same community, if you're not traveling, word of mouth, ask around. What's a good shop to go to, huh?
Oh, exactly. You know, and if you see a tattoo that you really, really like, you know, ask the person where they got it. You know, they're 90% of the time they'll be happy to tell you, and a lot of the times they even have business cards on them.
Mm-hmm. Are there any medical risks to getting a tattoo these days?
Well, I mean, if you have diabetes, the tattoo will heal slower. You know, you don't want to get a tattoo and then go, you know, snorkeling through some kind of swamp or anything the next day. You know.
All right. Sherry is joining us from Cedar Rapids. Good morning, Sherry. Welcome to The Exchange.
Hello there.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I have two children, and my husband is Mexican, so the children, of course, are half Hispanic. And so we gave them pretty names, Dahlia and Nicolas. And Dahlia is a flower, of course, and so when my daughter turned 18, she had an artist draw a beautiful orange dahlia and put it on the base of her back, sort of that transformative moment you were talking about. Well, when my son went to college and he turned 18, he had the Mexican flag put on his back. So I think those are kind of transformative moments for them. But then one more thing is, my daughter and I, 4 years ago, went on a hitchhiking trip. I used to hitchhike all over the country when I was younger, and she really wanted to go and have this experience. So my handle on the road with the truck drivers had always been Freebird, and then she acquired the name Chickadee. So now we're looking for a tattoo artist that will put a little Freebird on my neck and a little Chickadee on her neck so that we can have that moment forever.
Very good. That's a nice story, Sherry. Thank you for telling us that from Cedar Rapids. Jose in East Moline. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you. What's your story?
When I first met my wife, I had a tattoo, you know, her name, and I was in the reserves. And first time we were apart, I had her name added. And then when my daughters were born, Kelly and Carrie, had their names added. And then as life went on, I started doing, like, the, you know, the top rocker, and then in the center of my back, I have it's me, and I have Jesus pulling one way, Satan pulling the other. It's like my constant struggle. And I actually have two half sleeves. My entire chest and back is done.
Mm-hmm. This is
and then some work on my legs. But my daughter's in museum studies, and I was teasing her that the Japanese, when they pass on, you have to fillet their skin and display it on the wall, kind of like a little shrine. And she said she'd never do that, and I was teasing them that they had to. It was my last wishes. Anyway, she was doing an internship at the Putnam Museum in Davenport, Iowa, mm-hmm. and they're doing a collection. And she mentioned to the girl that she was working with that her dad's a collector. And then when they brought up the tattoos, she said, "Wow, I think that'll stir things up here." And so they had me go in for a photo session and took pictures of all the tattoos and. Actually, let me have the pictures when they were done, so I've got them probably displayed on the wall in my basement, so now they don't have to fillet me.
Well, we're grateful for that, Jose. Jeff, Jose represents, I imagine, a type of customer you love to have. He gets his first tattoo, and then we have add-ons that can go on over years. People get, is addicted the right way to say this? They just use all the available body space to put tattoos on.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's just like it's like collecting anything. You know, I mean, if you buy your first really good rare book, something that's in a topic that you really enjoy, like travel or something like that, you're not going to just stop with one. You'll be on the lookout for great books for the rest of your life. The same thing with tattoo collectors. You know, these are people that saw the artistic side of what was going on, and then they just got really involved. This is such a wonderful time to get a tattoo because there's so many skilled people out there. But this is a great way for people who might not have collected paintings or art or anything like that, now they get into it and they start to learn a lot about art. I bet you Jose actually probably knows as much about art as any, you know, any student in an art program that's been going for a year or so.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jose, calling from East Moline. Nevertheless, some people don't look at tattoos this way. I'm thinking of people getting tattoos and then, especially during this bad economy, applying for a job, come in with a sleeve of tattoos is probably not the best advertisement for most jobs.
Well, that's what clothing was invented for.
Do you give any advice along those lines, or is that outside of your expertise?
Well, you know, it's not a tattoo artist's job to, you know, do an evaluation of a client's potential as a, you know, a component in our economy or anything like
right.
that. That's not what we do.
Give me the range of what from a small, simple tattoo, the costs involved and the time involved to a more expansive one.
Well, a small tattoo like a name usually runs around $50 and takes about 5 minutes to do.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll be in the shop for a lot longer than that, you know, picking out the types of font that you want. And, you know, there's a lot of setup time and stuff like this. But, yeah, you'll be in and out of there pretty quick. And then, you know, large tattoos like, like the caller Jose has probably been working on these tattoos for several years now.
Mm-hmm. It is Friday, and I know you're a fan, as you write in the book, of Science Friday on NPR.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the science of tattoos in the 2 minutes we have before our break. How does a tattoo stay in place?
Well, it's you know, tiny granules of pigment, basically, that are forced in by the needle itself. And they're just the right size so that the phage components of your lymphatic system can't really leach them away. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, it's the same kind of pokey-pokey principle that the even cavemen used, except for now our, you know, everything is, you know, it's cleaner and much, much better.
Well, describe the machine that you use.
The machine itself hasn't really changed that much in almost 100 years. I mean, they have capacitors on them now, but you know, they're tuned much, much better at this point, and that makes a great deal of difference.
Okay. How much does it hurt?
You know, it doesn't hurt nearly as bad as it used to. When I first started tattooing, it was usually a pretty bloody process. And nowadays, it's kind of like a mild sunburn.
Mm-hmm. So there is any blood involved usually?
No.
No blood involved?
No, a little bit of body fluids. Maybe a little tiny bit of blood will collect in the bandage afterwards, but mm-hmm. It's nowhere near the gore fest that it was once upon a time.
What are the most sensitive areas to tattoo, the most difficult areas?
Oh, geez, just use your imagination.
Very good. We'll take a break and let our listeners use their imagination, too, in this break, and then come back in just a moment with Jeff Johnson. Tattoo Machine is the title of his new memoir, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink. Jeff has worked for over 18 years as a professional tattoo artist, co-owner of the Sea Tramp Tattoo Company. And we'll have Jeff continue on with us when we come back. Also, we want to hear the stories behind your tattoos, why you got them, what images you have, what experiences you've had. 1-866-780-9100, our toll-free number. When we come back, laser technician Katie Armetta of Advanced Laser Clinics in the Quad Cities will join us. She is the person who enters the picture when a person wants to get rid of a tattoo. We'll find out what that costs and what stories are behind the removal of tattoos when we return. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. This is an archive edition of The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. Tattoo You edition of The Exchange today, talking about tattoos, why we get them, how we get them, the artistic endeavor involved in making them, also the technical advances that have been made. Jeff Johnson with us from Portland, Oregon. Tattoo Machine, the latest book that he's written, his memoir, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink, just published, and been sharing with us stories from that book, many humorous stories about the people that he has tattooed, the experiences he's had, and we are listening to your stories as well. Why did you get that tattoo? 1-866-780-9100 or email us, TheExchange@iowapublicradio.org. Well, what happens when you get that tattoo and maybe the next week or 5 years later, you don't want it. You don't want it so much that you want to have it removed. What do you do? Well, one of the people you can get in touch with is someone like Katie Armetta. She is a laser technician with Advanced Laser Clinics of the Quad Cities. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
How many clients come into your clinic in a typical week for a tattoo removal?
Well, we do several other treatments besides tattoo removal, but I would say we treat probably around 5 tattoos a day, and we work 6 days a week, so we do see probably around 30 people a week for tattoo removal.
Can you take off most tattoos in one setting?
No. They do take several treatments. Most professional tattoos actually take around 12 to 15 treatments. Homemade tattoos that people have done themselves, oftentimes they're not as deep in the skin, and they can often be removed with only 1 to 6 treatments.
Mm-hmm. What's the total cost, average total cost of removing an average tattoo?
Well, it all depends on the size. Cost-wise, at our clinic, and it's pretty much across the board everywhere, pretty much most people charge about $50 per square inch. If you're having a smaller tattoo that's $100 a treatment and you're doing 12 treatments, that's $1,200.
That can be pretty pricey. Now, also painful?
It is painful. Most people do say it is more painful to have the tattoo removed than it is to have the tattoo done, but it does take much less time. An average treatment only takes 1 to 2 minutes.
Give us a little bit of the science. What's happening when you remove a tattoo to those pigments?
Well, the laser is actually breaking down the dye molecule. It allows it to exit out the body through the immune system, and basically it's just allowing that ink to fade each time. So each time you're just removing a little bit of the ink and allowing it to fade gradually.
And you actually do the procedures, right?
We do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now, you must have heard a million stories by now about why this tattoo came into existence. So what are the typical stories you hear, or a memorable one?
Well, we do get a lot of the ones that I always think are the silliest. We get a lot of people that have tattooed on their wedding band. It's never a good idea.
around their finger.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And that's actually one of the hardest areas to remove from. So sometimes they're kind of stuck with that. But we do get a lot of that. We get a lot of names. Haven't seen too many funny ones yet, but we do get some that are kind of, you know, people say they will wake up and they don't even remember getting the tattoo, nonetheless wanting it still. So those are always interesting.
Jeff, now people do, of course, they go to tattoo parlors often after they have been at bars, drinking and so forth, out with the gang. Is that a sizable part of your clientele, people who have been drinking and perhaps are doing it on a whim?
No, actually, most tattoo shops won't tattoo someone that's actively drunk for a variety of reasons. One, their blood is thinned out, and also the chief reason is that a drunk person cannot sit still. You know, so it's like tattooing on a moving train.
Right.
And you have to bear in mind that every tattoo you do is like a business card. Mm-hmm. It's your advertisement. So if you've got something on some scrawly drunk guy, is going to say, "Well, I don't know what happened,"
And people do have to in your shop, and I think in most shops, have to sign a release form, correct?
Oh yes.
What's in that release form?
Just releases us from any liability. Just says that they consent to having the tattoo applied, that they're sane, and standard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw this question that I asked Jeff earlier in the hour to Katie. What are the health implications of getting a tattoo?
The health?
Do you know anything about the health implications
of
tattoos?
We have had a few people that have gotten infection from tattoos. I don't know that it's specifically from using an unclean needle or anything, but maybe just from that skin being opened up and then getting an infection afterwards. We have had people be allergic to the ink. Oftentimes red we've seen this with, where it'll actually form a keloid scar because of it. And in those cases, it's usually best that the people do have the tattoo removed because it can continue to get infected over and over. Those are, the two things that I've seen with it. Other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot of health problems that I know of, at least.
Okay, but let's go back to the phones. Your stories of your particular tattoo, also questions about tattoos and tattoo removal, 1-866-780-9100. Christopher joining us from Pocahontas. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Great, we're doing fine. You've got a tattoo, I bet.
Yes, actually I do. I have 4 of them, but I guess I would like to share the little bit of the story of my first tattoo. We've heard a lot about the transformative nature of tattoos, but for me it was more of a reinforcing a nature and kind of encapsulating my career's epiphanic moment, I guess.
So these were milestones in your life that you said, I have reached a milestone, I have attained something, I want to mark it on my body.
Not so much milestone. I went to school to study fish and to do conservation work. And a few summers ago, the summer of 06, I was working for the Iowa DNR out on the Missouri River. And my favorite fish had always been a paddlefish. And here in Iowa, they're a threatened species, and I've always kind of wanted to work with endangered threatened species conservation. And while we were working, we'd caught our first paddlefish of the year, and unfortunately, it looked like it had sat in the net a little too long, and we brought it into the boat, and we thought it was dead. So it was a very interesting moment to see all of our biologists in the boat with me get just noticeably upset at killing a threatened species. And as we continued to work through the other fish in the net, I had noticed that what we thought was a dead paddlefish had wound up still being alive, just gilling just a little bit. So I started working on it, performing fish CPR over the side of the boat, running it back and forth through the water.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 10 minutes of this process, the paddlefish took off right out of my hands and swam off, so far as we know, alive and well. And the entire time I was doing that, I thought to myself, my God, this is exactly what I've spent all this time and money and effort studying and working on. This is where I need to be with my life, working to do this kind of work. And as a result, I got my paddlefish tattooed on my chest so that anytime, because any job you have, you're going to have your bad moments, your tough moments, and the moments where you're questioning what you're doing. And I can always look down at those moments and think to myself of that absolutely amazing moment on a boat on the Missouri River, watching a threatened species come back to life and take off to a happy, hopefully happy future.
Wonderful story. Christopher, thank you for joining us from Pocahontas. Take care of that paddlefish.
All right. You have a good day, sir.
All right. Bye now. KVN, is that your name? From Marion?
Yes, that's my name.
Hi, KVN. Thanks for joining our program. What's your tattoo story?
I have a single dot tattoo, and it's on the middle finger about where you would wear a ring.
Single, did I understand, single dot tattoo?
Yeah, just one single dot, and it's passed from another person who already has one, and it's called a drunk dot. And what you do is you hold it at arm's length, and if you see more than one, then you probably shouldn't drive.
I don't know if that's the scientifically proven method to do it. I think there are better ways, but okay. That's the story behind yours. Thank you, KVN, calling from Marion. Share your tattoo story with us, or perhaps your story of tattoo regret, 1-866-780-9100. Joining us from Portland, Jeff Johnson, author of the new book, Tattoo Machine. Also, Katie Armetta, a laser technician of Advanced Laser Clinics in the Quad Cities, specializing. One of the things they do is tattoo removals. One of the signs, Jeff, in your store, I noticed in the video you had online, the sign on your wall says, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, but we almost never do because we have a secret nasty love for each and every one of you." What kind of trouble have you run into with customers?
Oh, I've run into so many different kinds of trouble. Occasionally you'll start tattooing someone, and I bet the laser technician, Katie, actually probably has the same problem. And, you'll begin a procedure, and then about halfway through, you realize this person is completely, totally insane. But they've managed to conceal it so well. They're mimicking sane people so perfectly that you don't really notice until you're halfway through. And, this doesn't happen that often anymore. I mean, a lot of the time we have the caller, Christopher, the fish scientist.
Mm-hmm.
We get more and more people like this. That's an actual scientist, he's got a great reason for wanting to get this tattoo. He's a, very thoughtful man. This is, more and more of the time, this is very typical of our clientele. But, yeah, you still do get the lunatics slipping past your radar every once in a while.
You relay in the book, in fact, the story of one person you gave a tattoo who you think was a serial killer.
Yeah, that was probably the low point of my career. I didn't go to work for a few weeks after that.
Tell us that story.
Okay. Well, this guy came into the tattoo shop, and it was just like, you know, like a summer day, like 2 in the afternoon, maybe a Monday. I wasn't really doing anything. I heard this scratching sound, and I looked, and there's this incredibly tall scarecrow-like man scratching at one of the designs on the wall. And, you know, with his really long yellow fingernail, he was altogether completely disgusting. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to drive him out of the shop. That's obviously bad behavior right there. And he said he wanted to get this tattoo. I gave him a really high price quote, and, you know, he opened his wallet. I could see there was a lot of money in there, so I thought, well, okay, I'll do it, you know. And so it was a banner with three slots in it, and empty slots, and that's all he wanted. So we set up, and I did the tattoo, and it took like 5 minutes. And at that point, I felt bad, like I'd ripped off a crazy person or something like that. So I asked him if there was anything he wanted in the slots, and he said yes. So he, you know, reels off a woman's name, and I dutifully put the name in there. And then he reels off a date, which is a few days before, and I put the date in there. And then he reels off a series of numbers that after I'd put them in, I realized could only be a Social Security number. So I just tattooed a name, a date, and a Social Security number on a very suspicious-looking character. Well, he realized that when I realized what I had done, I looked at him, and he was watching me. He knew this moment was about to happen. And he sat up so fast, moved so quickly. His whole back was covered with women's names, dates, and Social Security numbers. Some of these were maybe 15 years old as well. And he stole the pen that he used to sign his release form. He stole the release form. He'd obviously done this over and over and over again. I had no fingerprints.
Was there anything you could do? You went to the police, I take it.
No, I mean, I did tell this to, I have several clients that are police officers, and, you know, after I told them about it, they were like, well, there's nothing they could do. I mean, I couldn't remember the Social Security number. I could just remember the name was like Sandra something or other. But, you know, the guy had obviously done this. You know, he had all evidence, all proof. There was no information on the transfer that I used to put the banner onto his chest. It was pretty terrifying.
A lot of people have tattoos that involve Chinese or what look like Japanese characters these days. And I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed too, that often you ask people, they don't know what it says. What's behind that?
Well, you know, if you got a symbol that's on you that you don't know what it means, you need to either get that covered up or go visit Katie. One of the two. Because, you know, these are dangerous waters for a customer to get into. If you want to get, like, the symbol for true passion or something like that in Japanese, you really need to, you know, get on the internet and find at least three sources or go to your local tattoo shop where we have, you know, lots and lots of books that are accredited actual, you know, college textbooks where you can pick these things out. Because if you get some busboy at a sushi place to scribble this out on a napkin for you, you don't know what you're really getting. And the thing is, we don't either, you know. Tattoo artist does not speak Latin. We do not read Chinese. We don't read Japanese either, you know. So,
Katie, let's go to Katie. Have you had instances where people have come to you and had something mistakenly or something in a foreign language, perhaps Japanese or Chinese, tattooed on there, and it turned out it was something completely different?
I have. I've had a few, characters that people didn't really, I think they didn't end up being the exact meaning that they wanted. We have also had misspellings from the tattoo artist. We've actually had a couple tattoo artists that have paid for people to come in to get a couple letters faded out enough that they can fix it and spell it right. We've had Bible verses that, you know, the name was spelled wrong. So, yeah, we've definitely seen some of that and definitely some of the Japanese characters that, you know, maybe they originally thought was one thing and turned out to be another.
Mm-hmm. Baxter is joining us from North Liberty. Hi, Baxter.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine. What's your story?
My story. I have a couple different tattoos. The one I guess I get made fun of the most is on my ankle. I have a tattoo that says, "This is my ankle tattoo." So I'll find people standing behind me in the grocery store trying to read what the
turning upside down to read your on your ankle, huh?
And then once they complete the sentence, they look a little disappointed, like, oh, okay. We thought it was going to be something better.
Uh-huh. What else?
I have a picture of Curly on my arm.
Curly from the Three Stooges?
Yep. Now, I had to get Nyuk, Nyuk, Nyuk put underneath that because some people thought it looked like Hitler.
Oh,
obviously,
no.
You know, I didn't want Hitler on my arm, so I had to defuse the situation with some words underneath there.
Jeff, I gather from your book that, you know, you can bring in a picture, a photograph or a painting, and an artist can come very, very close to capturing something that you would see in a painting. It is so good is the artistry these days.
Oh, yes, this is definitely true. I'll give you an example. There was a guy that works for me named Scott Ramsey, and he had gone to CalArts, a prestigious school, to get his degree in animation. And he's a phenomenal artist, an excellent painter. But he was working his way through college as a tattoo artist. And it was a very expensive college. Well, he dropped out before his last semester, and I guess 2 years ago, he got an offer to go back. And they said, hey, we'll give you a scholarship if you just want to come back and finish your degree. So he did. And then afterwards, Pixar offered him a job for $12 an hour, something like that, and he would have to live in San Jose, California, which is just about one of the worst places in the world. And he came back and to work at the tattoo shop. He works for me still. This is the caliber of the artists that are involved in the tattoo scene right now. These people are really, really good.
And it's a type of performance art, really.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, you have to tell stories. You have to keep these people occupied, but you also have to draw them out, you know. People can be shy, especially when they're, you know, trying to describe something that they really don't have the vocabulary to actually describe. You have to kind of give them this kind of verbal splatter platform that they can really, you know, use disjointed ideas and anything they can latch onto that will convey what they really want.
Tony is joining us from Iowa City. Tony, the hour is getting away from us. What do you have to add to our conversation?
Oh, I was just going to add, I got tattooed by Hannah Aitchison in Chicago about 4 or 5 years ago. She gave me my first two tattoos. She ended up on Kat Von D's show, L.A. Ink, for the first couple of seasons. But she gave me my first tattoo, was a half sleeve of my mother, actually. And then a year later, she did my other half sleeve of my wife. And if you can get in with her, I would definitely recommend Hannah. She's at Deluxe Tattoo in Chicago, and she's very, very easy to get along with. She's an incredible artist, and she especially for your first tattoo, she's just incredibly kind and understanding, and just really. I just can't say enough good about her or anyone in that shop. I ended up going to that shop for my next few tattoos. And to go back to what you were saying earlier about really being interested in the artwork, that's basically what I have done. Is I found an artist that absolutely love their style, and I'll just give them a broad idea of what I want and just give them something incredible to come up with.
Tony, thank you very much for your call. Our hour is coming to an end. Before we go, I want to go to Jeff and ask, what is the future of tattooing? What do you see on the horizon? What are some of the latest new techniques that have wowed you lately?
Well, I think that, you know, there is no one that can predict where tattooing will be going. It's really vibrant, just like the other caller described just now. There are so many talented people involved, and everybody, the rule book has been burned. Everything is being pushed in different directions right now. Even 5 years ago, we couldn't have foreseen what was going to happen today. But I think that, you know, the most exciting thing that I see in tattooing right now is a lot of people are using a much more painterly style than a cartooning style, the bold black outlines around everything. they're vanishing as, you know, this talented pool of people begin to really flex their muscles. So we're seeing a new type of art actually come up. And I don't know where it'll go, but I am very, very interested in watching as it unfolds.
What did you say in the book? About a quarter of Americans have a tattoo? Is that that high?
Yeah, yeah. I think on the West Coast, it's probably even higher than that.
Well, Katie Armetta, laser technician from the Quad Cities, as long as tattoos are this popular, you'll be in business as well for those mistakes that happen along the way as well, right?
That is very true. The more people that get them, there's always a few that regret them.
All right. Katie Armetta of Advanced Laser Clinics in the Quad Cities, thank you for joining us this last half hour. And also thanks to Jeff Johnson for joining us for the entire hour. Tattoo Machine is the title of his debut book, his memoir, Tall Tales, True Stories, and My Life in Ink. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with tattooing and the book.
Great. Thank you so much.
And this has been The Exchange, produced by Jeff Schmidt and Catherine Perkins, with help from Julie Englander and John Pemble. Our producer assistant today, Kelly Tieslink. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting of this program, in case you want to hear the whole thing, perhaps you only caught 10 or 15 minutes of it and you want to hear the whole conversation, go to iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks so much for joining us.